South CV Racine, W251 BU Kenosha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Wendy Gillette. Supreme Court justices heard 2.5 hours of arguments about former President Donald Trump's claim he has total presidential immunity. The hearing concerns the case charging that Trump tried to manipulate the 2020 election. CBS News chief legal correspondent Jan Crawford says the justices seem to underline the ramifications of the case extend far beyond the 2024 election.
Justice Kavanaugh talking about that. Justice Alito saying, you know, the specter of prosecuting former presidents, you know, look, we see that, you know, if we look around the world and you'll see people, you know, they throw them in jail after they, you know, lose an election. And so that, you know, could be kind of fundamentally undermining our democracy. But again, you also had the other side with other justices, again, emphasizing, but no president is above the law.
An appeals court overturned Harvey Weinstein's sex crime conviction in New York. His lawyer, Arthur Idala.
What the Court of Appeals, the highest court in the greatest state, in the greatest country, said today, is that yes, no one is above the law, but no one is below the law either.
The NFL draft got underway tonight.
With the first pick in the 2024 NFL draft, the Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams, quarterback, Southern California.
NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell on ESPN. Student protests over the Israel-Hamas war continue on college campuses tonight. There were arrests across the country, as CBS Texas reporter Jason Allen explains.
Campus crackdown at Atlanta's Emory University. Police tore down tents erected this morning, and some appear to be tased by police. Some students and faculty were led away in handcuffs.
The University of Southern California has canceled its main graduation ceremony because of the ongoing demonstrations. A high school athletic director in Maryland has been arrested and charged with using artificial intelligence to get his principal falsely accused of racism. CBS News reporter Michael Toscano has the story.
Dezon Darien was in trouble with the principal of Pikesville High School over his work performance and a theft investigation. He learned his contract would not be renewed. Baltimore County detectives say Darien used artificial intelligence to create a recording using samples of the principal's voice.
Between these ungrateful black kids who can't test their way out of a paper bag.
That made it sound as if the principal was disparaging black students and Jews.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The University of Wisconsin's flagship campus in Madison is slipping in the global and national rankings. The Wall Street Journal ranks it 79th. Internationally, UW-Madison has fallen to as low as 102nd in one ranking. Authors of the UW's internal studies say the UW-Madison gets fewer federal research grants. People who need a few hundred bucks in a hurry can take out loans on smartphone apps, but consumer advocates warn of steep hidden costs. Lucia Constantine is with the Center for Responsible Lending.
They are trapping consumers in a cycle of borrowing that is similar to that of a payday loan.
A bipartisan bill to curb predatory lending in Wisconsin stalled in the last session of the state legislature. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers leave Pittsburgh with a victory. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. PNC Park, the Brewers trailed 5-4. Top of the eighth, Pirates lefty Adrolis Chapman on the mound against his former Yankees catcher Gary Sanchez. Jeff Levering with the call, Bally Sports, Wisconsin.
To right field. Deep. Sanchez on a 102-mile-an-hour fastball off the plate away. Wow.
The Brewers went on to win 7-5. Pat Murphy.
They won the game for us, changed the momentum of the game. He did it off, you know, one of the best closers, and this guy's been doing it for a long time. And Gary, he came up big, man. You know, with William catching every day, it's been tough for Gary to get at bats.
So the crew leaves PNC with a split series in four games and returns home to host the Yankees tomorrow night. NFL draft underway. We'll recap the first round later tonight. From Green Bay with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly clear skies here the overnight, near 40 degrees by sunrise and east wind. On your Friday, we'll see mid-50s for highs. There will be some shower possibilities, especially in the afternoon. Southeast winds turning gusty. Showers and storms Friday night. It's 42 at our studios.
Pete Schwaba.
Monday, April 29th on Nightlight, I welcome on Milwaukee.com entertainment reporter Matt Miller to talk about the Milwaukee Film Festival and civic media reporter and personality Melissa Kay.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9. You're listening to News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, welcome to the second hour of our program. One of the big stories, of course, or two of the big stories this week have been yesterday's hearings before the Supreme Court about whether women should have to nearly die before they can get an abortion. And today's hearing before the Supreme Court about whether Donald Trump should be able to get off scot-free and, you know, kill his enemies and whatever he wants to do and just claim executive privilege or immunity. The other big story this week was that Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, changed his mind and brought to the floor of the House the legislation that would fund Ukraine to a substantial amount, $60 billion, and that apparently the aid to Ukraine has already started flowing as of today, and apparently Russia is furious about this. So on the line with us is our buddy Phil Itner, the veteran war correspondent based out of Kyiv. Philip Itner on YouTube is where you'll find his video blog. His Twitter handle is Itner Philip. Phil, welcome back to the program. So is the are the resources getting there to Ukraine?
Yeah, they are. You know, they had, in anticipation of the bill passing the Senate and the president signing it, they had already moved a lot of, in particular, munitions. Air defense munitions, but also long distance, these ATACMS, ATACMS, long range missile systems, which the Ukrainians have been asking for a long time, and which brings a lot of the occupied territories, parts of Russia proper, and then importantly, the Crimean Peninsula. And we are hearing that almost immediately after the president signed the bill, the ATACMS were used, which means that potentially they were already here, which is, you know, which is
interesting.
A little tricky.
Yeah.
But it seems the Pentagon had already, you know, brought these things in, or they got them there toot sweet. Yeah. But it's we're getting Bradley's coming in behind that. We have been under serious threat today, Tom, in Kyiv and around the country. I think the Russians are trying to do as much damage, or at least put as much pressure on the air defense systems in Ukraine as they can before those munitions show up, because, as you rightfully pointed out, they are furious about that, and that's a good sign that it's the right step in the right direction in defending Ukraine.
Yeah, Dmitry Peskov, Putin's best friend and right-hand man and press secretary, basically, went off on a rant about this yesterday or the day before, just positively, steam coming out of his ears.
Breaks my heart.
Yeah, yeah, same here. So in another story that I was going to talk about at some length after talking with you, and I'll get into, but Russia apparently just attacked the United States. There's a cyber group based out of Russia that does sabotage work in other countries. They've done a lot of sabotage work, cyber sabotage, in Ukraine. And they just seized control of the water supply in a little Texas town and, you know, spilled thousands of gallons of water all over the town as a way of saying, hey, we can do this, and did it live on Telegram. Should we expect more of this? I mean, is this, are we wandering into low-level warfare here?
Well, look, this is something that our intelligence and defense and security apparatus has known about for quite some time. I have a contact, and I'll tread carefully here because it was on background, but I have a contact within the intelligence services in the United States. I'll even go so far as to say Homeland Security. And I spoke to him a good 6 years ago because those of us who have been paying attention to Russia's increasing antagonistic efforts against the West, and particularly the United States, there's been indications that they have been inside our various systems, whether it is transportation, whether it is energy, whether it is in this particular case, hydroelectric. They know that Russia is implementing the best of their technology to do these kind of cyber attacks and prepare for it. And they are in our systems waiting to be triggered. So we should be concerned. I mean, thankfully, again, I was talking to a source inside Homeland Security 6 years ago. They were aware of it back then. So right. I'm anticipating that they have been aware of it the entire time here. But Russia is trying to punch above its weight because it knows it can't fight militarily. And, the way things are going in Ukraine for them, they're hoping to destabilize and attack the West, and again, in particular, their number one foe in their minds, us, the United States. They are fixated on ways that they can attack us that will come right up to direct confrontation, but will not cross that line. Now, will that be exacerbated if things go really poorly for them here in Ukraine? We'll have to wait and see, but we need to be aware that Russia sees us as their primary enemy. It is not Ukraine they see as the jilted lover that's been seduced away by the West. They can't get there. It's an abusive relationship. The guy who has his, his wife who he's been beating for years, and suddenly she says, I've had it, I'm leaving. And he's like, no, I'm going to teach you how to love me again, sort of thing. And how dare you go into the, be seduced away. It's not your fault. You're being seduced away. So they don't see Ukraine as the enemy. They see the United States, and they are acting accordingly. We should definitely be concerned about the potential for cyber attacks.
I'm curious, kind of along those same lines, only in rather than just cyber attacks on infrastructure, cyber attacks on our intellectual infrastructure, on our governing infrastructure.
The mind worm.
Yeah,
the mind worm.
The fact of the matter is that I believe it was 114. It was a majority, a small majority, but a majority of Republicans in the House of Representatives voted for Putin rather than for America just a couple of days ago.
Yeah, indeed. And what is the primary culprit?
Right. Yeah. What does that tell you about how effective Russia's propaganda has been? And to what extent can you explain how that propaganda works for our listeners?
Well, I'll have to do the Reader's Digest version of it. But I mean, you even hear from the certain sectors of the Republican Party itself saying that our party has been infiltrated, our body politic has been infiltrated by Russian disinformation and information warfare, not just some sort of milky toast kind of like, they're influencing. No, this is information warfare. They are attacking, they're getting into people's minds. The primary proponent of this kind of stuff, and somebody who is clearly, at the very least, taking Moscow's talking points, Marjorie Taylor Greene, putting out these tweets that are literally cut and pasted from the military, the Russian military intelligence, the GRU. It's verbatim. I mean, she's talking about things like the Hungarian language issue in Transcarpathia. Marjorie Taylor Greene has no idea about the Transcarpathian Hungarian language laws. Somebody is feeding this to her. Mm. I do not believe that she has the intellectual curiosity or the depth of knowledge of this region that she could just pull that feather out of her hat and address it. Somebody is giving it to her. Now, willingly or unwillingly, I don't know. But Russia is very good about putting the germ of doubt. And what is reality and what is truth? And there is no truth and there is no reality. It'll be what we tell you it is. Everything is cynical. Everything is abusive. Everything is corrupt. And to think otherwise is naivete. And it's all just for naught. Everything is falling apart. They want to get into our minds and tell us that that up is down, down is up, right is left, left is right.
Democracy sucks.
Democracy sucks. Democracy is a farce. It's you are naive to think about things like the rule of law or the rights of man. It is deeply cynical, and it speaks to an audience that has always been with us in the United States, whether they're nativism, of the late 18th and early 19th centuries, or whether it's the Confederacy or then the KKK and now MAGA. They have always been with us. These guys who do not genuinely believe in democracy, when they lose an election, they blame it on the other side, that there was some sort of reasoning and justification for throwing out the ballot in the book, whether it's firing on Fort Sumter or whether it's January 6th. They've always been with us. The Russians know it, and they exacerbate that rift between us. It is deadly, it is violent, and it plays right into their arms. Divide and conquer. This is what the Russians know how to do, and that's what they're intent on doing.
And it looks like they've divided and conquered the GOP. It's amazing. Phil Itner, Phil, thanks so much for dropping by today.
Thank you, Tom.
It is always good talking with you. I so appreciate our conversations every week. We'll be back with more of the news of the day and your calls in just a moment.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Also, there were indictments in Arizona yesterday. It happened after we got off the air yesterday. I'll update you on that. That's amazing stuff going on. Stay tuned. Fresh dog food is everywhere right now, but is it the real deal or is it all hype? Well, for me, there are a few issues with it. Number one, it ships frozen, so you have to wait for it to thaw. Number two, you have to store it in the fridge, and once it's defrosted, it can expire pretty quickly. Number three, it's cooked, which can actually destroy a lot of the nutrients your dog needs. And number four, it's messy. You're a busy dog parent. You need a dog food that's great for your pup and easy for you to use. That's why I love feeding my dogs Blue and Chewy Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend. It's ready the moment it's mealtime. It's shelf-stable and dry to the touch, so you don't need to squeeze it from a wet pouch. Plus, unlike most fresh dog food that's cooked with high heat, Nature's Blend is freeze-dried raw, meaning it has an optimum amount of nutrients your dog needs for their health and happiness, and a flavor and texture they'll find irresistible. Save up to 54% off Nature's Blend, plus a free bag of Telly's Treasures, their best-selling deep-flavored dog treats. Just go to drmartypets.com/Tom, T-H-O-M, or text Tom to 511-511. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply.
This is Don Rosen. Come join me for local news, weather, sports, and some good morning fun as well. Weekday morning, 6 to 8 on 1400 AM, 99.9 FM, and 98.1 FM. WRJN, Hometown Radio, refreshed.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today we're talking credit scores. I mean, we all know we're supposed to have a good one, but what is a credit score? It's a number rating how likely you are to pay back a loan. Anytime you use credit, you know, like your credit card or a mortgage, the info about what you borrowed and when you paid it gets sent to three credit bureaus, TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian. They track every transaction and compile detailed financial information on every single American. I mean, a little creepy, am I right? And they rate you on a scale from 300 to 850. Over 670 is good, and over 800 is excellent. Then the bureaus sell your rating to anybody who's thinking about lending you money, and you get a better or a worse deal based on your score. Best way to keep that score up is pay your bills on time. This is Carrie Joy from Work Money. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org or text MONEY to 88285. Take good care.
It's a polka party, and for good reason. 30 years ago, legislation making the polka our state dance became official in Pulaski.
I think everybody in Pulaski showed up in Zielinski Hall or on the streets because it was a polka day celebration.
That's then-Governor Tommy Thompson who signed the legislation in April 1994. But do you know who got the barrel rolling on the idea in the first place? The Wisconsin Polka Boosters, a class of second graders, or the State Folk Museum? The answer coming up.
It's tradition, it's culture, it's food, it's beer, you know, heritage.
Heritage back to the 1840s when the polka became popular with Europeans and came to America with them. So who started the Make Polka Our State Dance movement? A class of Madison second graders, but the Boosters and Folk Museum supported those efforts. It's a cultural slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your forecast for you and your community. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. We love Wisconsin weather and tracking it to keep you updated whenever it changes. Listen for our weather-ready stories so you're always prepared on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com.
Debt. It keeps you tossing and turning at night. You can't get away from it. But the truth is the system is designed to trap you in debt. Insanely high interest credit cards and loans make it nearly impossible to pay off your debt. Well, there's a new way out of that debt trap, Pivotal Debt Solutions. Pivotal Debt Solutions isn't like the old school debt relief companies that string out your debt for years. They have new aggressive strategies that can end your debt faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pivotal Debt Solutions can cut or even eliminate interest. They can find programs to write off your balances so you owe less. They can stop those threatening phone calls. And they can do it all without bankruptcy and without a loan. Bottom line, they find every solution possible to end your debt permanently. So before you do anything, contact Pivotal Debt Solutions first. Talk to them for free. Find out how fast they can help you get out of debt. Visit, and this is just an incredible URL, zapmydebt.com, ZAPMYDEBT.com. That's for Pivotal Debt Solutions, zapmydebt.com. 22 minutes past the hour. Welcome back. Mark Meadows, Rudy Giuliani, and other Trump allies have been charged a total of 11 Arizona Republicans and 7 attorneys or aides affiliated with Trump's campaign, total of 18 people. Indicted yesterday in Arizona. Trump was not charged. He's described as unindicted co-conspirator number one. This is Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays. People say, well, why did it take 4 years? Because for the first 2 years, 2021, 2022, Arizona had a Republican Attorney General who refused to even look into these crimes. And, you know, in 2023, in January 2023, a Democratic, you know, Chris Mays was sworn in into office as Attorney General for Arizona and immediately set about investigating these crimes that had been committed in Arizona, in Chris Mays' own state. We're seeing this Republicans in 4 states now facing charges. I just mentioned Arizona. In Georgia, there are a total of 16 Republicans who claim to be electors, and they've been indicted along with others who were conspiring to steal the 2020 election. In Michigan, the state attorney general, Dana Nessel, in July of last year, brought the first charges in the country against these so-called fake electors. In Nevada, by the way, all but one of the people that were charged in Michigan are up for trial. One of them, a fellow by the name of James Renner, they dropped the charges against him in exchange for his testimony. In Nevada, a grand jury in December of last year charged the 6 Republicans in Nevada who claimed to be fake electors or electors. They charged them with 2 felonies each. They're each facing 9 years in prison and up to $15,000 in fines. They pled not guilty. They include the chairman of the state Republican Party in Nevada, Michael McDonald, and the Republican National Committeeman, Jim DeGraffenried. And in Wisconsin, there's an ongoing investigation. And the other 2 states where we saw these fake electors, Pennsylvania and New Mexico, in both cases, the attorneys general chose not to go after the Trump people. because the fake electors' ballots that were filed with the federal government clearly said only if the regular electors' ballots are deemed to be illegitimate or, you know, thrown out or whatever, do these come into play. So they were kind of a plan B, whereas in all the other states, they asserted that they were plan A, that these were the real electors, which, of course, is fraud. It's a crime. I mentioned when we were talking with Phil Itner that the Russians have attacked our water supply. This is in Mule Shoe, New Mexico. It's not far, oh, excuse me, it's in Texas. It's not far from the New Mexico border. And this is the first ever disruption of a U.S. drinking water supply by Russia, although Iran and China have both attacked our drinking water supplies in the past. It led to the overflowing of thousands of gallons for almost an hour, leading to a state of emergency, excuse me. The hacking group is called the Cyber Army of Russia Reborn, C-A-R-R. And they are affiliated with the Russian government. They seem to be tied into the Russian military. In fact, they said live on Telegram, they broadcast their hack. They said, "We're starting another raid on the USA. In this video, there are a couple of critical infrastructure objects, namely water supply systems." The message, by the way, was in Russian and capped with a smiley face emoji. The video then, this is from the Daily Mail by Alex Hammer. The video then shows the hackers changing values and settings for the utility's control systems. The group has previously conducted DDoS attacks, denial of service attacks, on Ukrainian organizations and government agencies. This happened back in January 18th. We're just hearing about it now. A seasoned cybersecurity specialist from Google-owned Mendiant told the Washington Post, quote, "The hack was indeed the work of Carr, an org perhaps better known by the pseudonym of Sandworm. They were also able to hack the Olympic opening games in South Korea in 2018, and they're credited with the creation of an advanced malware that was able to briefly shut down the Chernobyl safety system in 2017. So these guys have been around for a while. They also took down the Chernobyl radiation monitoring. They took that offline in 2017 as just a way of scaring the world and showing their power. They also had a ransomware attack that was used to attack systems overseeing the 2017 French elections, according to U.S. officials, citing billions of dollars in losses. So as Phil said, you know, Russia, you know, they've got an economy half the size of California. It's about the size of Italy. Economically, it's a very small country. Physically, it's very large, but basically all they've got is this and nuclear weapons. You know?
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Clearly, they think that's enough. I'll be back with more of the news of the day and your calls right after this.
How would you like to get a free smartphone? If you own a smartphone, listen to this incredible offer that's almost too good to be true. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Plus, get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline now and we'll move your number from your existing service. Think of your savings. So don't wait. Switch your plan, save money, plus get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. We guarantee you're going to love our service. If you don't like what we say, you can hang up on us. But you won't. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. 800-942-1325. 800-942-1325. 800-942-1325. That's 800-942-1325.
Do you have an old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help.
They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435. That's 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435.
You're listening to WRJN, Southeastern Wisconsin's home for Matt Nair on Air.
CBS News Brief. The Supreme Court took on former President Donald Trump's total immunity claim. Legal expert Lori Levinson on how the justices reacted.
There was a lot of discussion during the argument about how no one should be above the law. So to give that absolute immunity to Trump or anyone else would fundamentally change the type of nation we are.
A New York appeals court overturned Harvey Weinstein's sex crimes conviction. CBS's Jerika Duncan.
The New York district attorney plans to retry the case, but keep in mind Harvey Weinstein faces a 16-year sentence in California for sexual assault. His attorneys say they want to look at that case too.
Quarterbacks dominated the top slots in the NFL draft. The Washington Commanders took last year's Heisman Trophy winner Jaden Daniels from LSU at number 2.
Man, I'm just coming in. I don't got no role. I'm a rookie. I'm ready to go out there and just have fun, meet my new teammates, and compete.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
Pacific Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin schools are turning to restraints and seclusion for discipline less often. The Department of Public Instruction says cases were down about 8% last school year. Tim Pirenboom is a DPI psychologist.
It's only supposed to be used as a last resort when the student's behavior presents a clear, present, imminent risk to physical safety.
The report says most schools reported 0 cases last school year. High school athletes in Wisconsin will not get name, image, and likeness opportunities this year. A proposed amendment to the WIAA Constitution failed at a meeting of the governing body Wednesday. Executive Director Stephanie Hauser predicts the discussion is just starting. 31 states allow NIL deals for high schoolers, including Minnesota and Illinois. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. If you're making weekend plans and are in Northeast Wisconsin or don't mind a short road trip, check out An Evening with John McGivern Friday night, April 26th at the Ashwaubenon Performing Arts Center. The host of Main Streets on PBS and former host of Around the Corner tells funny stories about his life growing up in Milwaukee in a big Irish Catholic family and his prolific show business career. Tickets can be purchased at TicketStarOnline.com. Quick fashion tip, if you appear on a podcast, don't go commando, especially if you're wearing baggy shorts. Travis Kelce and comedian Andrew Santino recently discussed Kelce's appearance on Santino's podcast a few years ago, where Kelce was literally hanging out. Santino and his editor decided not to reshoot, but just put a big Kansas City Chiefs logo over Kelce's ballular area. That's a medical term. Look it up. Kelce laughed as he recalled the incident, saying he had no idea at the time. Yeah, sure. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly clear skies here the overnight, near 40 degrees by sunrise and east wind. On your Friday, we'll see mid-50s for highs. There will be some shower possibilities, especially in the afternoon. Southeast winds turning gusty. Showers and storms Friday night. It's 42 at our studios.
Here's a fun fact for you. The average chameleon can point their eyes in 2 different directions. On the other hand, the average human can't. So unless you're a chameleon, there's absolutely no way you can focus on texting and driving at the same time. So don't do it, unless you're a chameleon.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny.
I wonder what Matt Damon's mom would say when it comes to teaching science to little kids.
Wait, what? You want to know what my mom would say? All right, well, just ask her.
And there she is, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page. Welcome to Busted Pencils. Nancy, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. It's great to see you. It's great to be here.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, stop by on a TGIF edition. That's thank goodness it's Friday. Our old friend Peter Rapine from E-Bombs World stops by with a week in review. Wacky things humans do.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
On a nutrients that your dog needs for their health and happiness and a flavor and texture they'll find irresistible. Save up to 54% off Nature's Blend. Plus, get a free bag of Tilly's Treasures, their best-selling beef-liver dog treats. Just go to drmartypets.com/Tom, T-H-O-M, or text Tom to 511-511. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply. Welcome back. 35 minutes past the hour. And just some wild. One of the other points that I caught listening to the Supreme Court hearing this morning was that Trump's lawyer was saying to the court, basically, please send this back down to the district court. Now, he doesn't want it to go to an appeals court because they could rule quickly. If it goes to the district court, then they have to have hearings and they have to bring witnesses and it slows everything. You know, basically, the strategy here, that Donald Trump's entire strategy is delay. He's committed all these crimes against the United States, against other people. I mean, there's even some evidence suggesting that he might have knowingly or unknowingly transferred U.S. National security documents to foreign countries, you know, inviting spies to Mar-a-Lago while he's got all these documents sitting in an open, you know, space, you know, with a giant copy machine. So, you know, his plan is to avoid responsibility, liability, legal liability for these things by simply delaying. By postponing the proceedings against him as long as he possibly can. So, what's on your mind? Let's pick up your calls here. Dynamo Dave in Duluth, Minnesota. Hey, Dave, what's up?
Hey, thanks, Tom. I was thinking that for the first 25 years of this century, you should be named a historian of the first 25 years because you do so well with all your books. So, if there's such an award, we've got to get that to you.
Well, thank you.
I was wondering if it's possible that these people like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz and Steve Bannon, et cetera, could be somehow on the take from the Russians, if you know what I mean, through, I don't know, third party ways or third avenues where they don't.
Well, the NRA used to launder Russian money. We know that.
Uh-huh.
And there's a number of Russian oligarchs who've been delivering money to, you know, various Republicans, including Donald Trump over the years. So I don't think that's such a far-fetched idea, Dave.
Is that something that could be investigated, I mean, by our Justice Department or whatever?
Hopefully they already are.
Okay.
But yeah, here's the problem. In the Citizens United 2010, in the Citizens United case that was decided by one vote, Clarence Thomas's vote, they ruled that a foreign government or foreign actors can funnel money into American campaigns as long as they just run it through an American shell company. So
wow, that's terrible.
Yeah, in the dissent, John Paul Stevens wrote the dissent, and in his dissent he said this is the equivalent of legalizing Tokyo Rose during World War II.
Wow. Yeah. Man.
So that's a problem. Yeah. I mean, you know, as long as that's the case, it's really, really hard to go after Marjorie Taylor Greene or any of these other, you know, 140 some odd Republicans who voted with Putin last week or this week, I guess it was. Given those circumstances, Dave, I got to move along. But thank you for the call. Good question. Thank you, Rob in New Orleans. Hey, Rob, what's up?
Hey, Tom. We hear a lot of talk about artificial intelligence these days.
Mm-hmm.
There's also something known as civic intelligence. There's a good Wikipedia page on it for Substack that, you know, there are good ideas and solutions all around the world. And how do Americans become aware of them? You know, mm-hmm. our media sphere can often be kind of closed in and, you know, governed by, be it public relations or corporations, politicians. And, you know, in Japan, I think food insecurity is 3%. In Louisiana, it's 15%. Well, what's Japan doing to get such a low number? So that's just something that I'm thinking.
What do you
about.
Mean 3%? You mean the average family spends 3% of their income on food?
No. No, there's only 3% food insecurity.
Oh, I see. Country. 3% of the people are hungry. Whereas here it's 15%.
Right.
Louisiana, I get it.
15%.
Yeah.
Right. And like in Australia, you go to the emergency room, it's $9. You know,
yeah.
What's that system? You know? So it's we've got this kind of closed in loop. We have this impoverished national dialogue because we're not getting kind of every perspective out there. From, you know, countries that we normally don't associate with but have good policies. I hear that Maine just passed something related to the elections, which is, I don't know if I can remember the story, but it was like certifying that elections are fair. It's like, well, that's a great idea. You know, we should incorporate that elsewhere. So civic intelligence, that's my latest buzzword.
Yeah. I think, you know, I think part of the problem, and this is to go back to my comments to Dave just a minute ago, Rob, is that the Supreme Court has ruled that you know, buying politicians is perfectly legal. And so now you've got this oligarch class of right-wing billionaires and multi-millionaires and giant corporations who share their concerns and interests and are led in many cases by these same billionaires, who are doing absolutely everything they can to keep, for example, Louisiana, where you live, in poverty, because, you know, it's cheap labor for them. If they can keep out the unions, I mean, this is the essence of my riff today at HartmanReport.com. You know, it's all about the union efforts and how, you know, they just successfully unionized this Volkswagen plant in Tennessee. And in three or four weeks, there's going to be a vote in Alabama in a Mercedes plant. And this was the one in Tennessee. This was the first successful unionization effort since the 1940s. Now, how is it that, you know, since the 1940s down in the South, they've been able to convince workers to vote against their own interests? Because of lots and lots of money. They just, you know, they buy, you know, the think tanks and the media and the radio stations and the newspapers and... you know, there's just this media onslaught that has behind it a tsunami of cash from these right-wing billionaires who have benefited from all these Republican policies and also benefit from the lack of, you know, of a strong middle class in the South. So, you know, they can, it's a lot easier to manipulate people when they're poor.
Two quick points. Like in Chattanooga, at that VW plant, workers are having to work the line excessively. They're getting injured and they're getting fired. So hopefully we'll see kind of workplace safety rules put into that plant. And then, like here in New Orleans, minimum wage is $7. Hotel maids, you know, clean rooms, depend upon tips. New York City, that's a union job with benefits and a retirement plan.
Exactly.
And hotels can afford it there. We can afford it here. Thank you.
Yeah, well said, Rob. Thank you very much, and spot on. Dillis in Delavan, Kansas. Am I saying that right, Dillis?
I live south of Wilson, way out in the country, but yeah.
Okay.
Close enough.
So what's up?
When Trump was leaving the White House, they showed the guys carrying out a bust of Abraham Lincoln, I believe it was. And I've never heard anybody say anything about it since.
Really? I didn't know that. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if he stole a bunch of stuff from the White House. We know he stole thousands of documents. So
yeah. It was on TV before January 6th. They were showing him. Yeah. I mean, showing him leaving the White House, and there was a guy carrying out a bust of Abraham Lincoln, and nobody's ever said anything about it.
Amazing. You know, there was all that sturm and drang around Bill Clinton when he left the White House. They claimed, you know, because George W. Bush was coming in, that they had taken the W's off all the keyboards. It turned out it was a lie. It was something that was made up by a Republican strategist who then fed it into the media, and it became, you know, a thing in the right-wing ecosphere that to this day most Republicans still believe it happened. And then that was followed just a few months later by another lie that Hillary Clinton had stolen the China from the White House. And, you know, the Republicans were all really, really outraged that Hillary Clinton might have stolen the China, or Bill Clinton's people might have stolen the W's off the keyboards. But, none of it happened. But they don't seem to be too worried about Donald Trump stealing stuff from the White House.
Yeah, if you're a Republican, you can do whatever you want.
Apparently, that's their theory.
I'm getting kind of tired of them threatening to kill me because I'm a Democrat. But
are they threatening to kill you, Dulles?
On TV every day, they're talking about killing Democrats when they get back in power. So
yeah. Yeah.
You're not allowed. I'm not religious, but you're not allowed to go to church if you're a Democrat. And
really?
It's wild.
Yeah, I guess. Dulles, thanks for the call. And thanks for watching us there in Kansas. Excuse me. It's just about 45 minutes past the hour, about 15 minutes before the hour. We'll be back with more of the news of the day and your calls in just a moment.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
You know, in this morning's hearings, Ketanji Brown Jackson really cut right to the chase. She said, why would the president not be required to follow the law?
Do you have a car sitting around you want to get rid of? Then here's a great idea. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Yes, one fast call to the Veteran Car Donation Program and we'll come and remove your car for free. Fast, free towing, and 24-hour response. You can donate most cars, trucks, or SUVs in most conditions. The proceeds raised goes to help active military, veterans, and their families, and you get a tax deduction. All you need to do is make this free call. Get rid of that old car and help the vets. We make it easy. Make this free call now and book your fast and easy pickup. Call the Veteran Donation Program now. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Operators are standing by. Here's the number.
800-884-9018. 800-884-9018. 800-884-9018. That's 800-884-9018.
When it comes to Wisconsin sports, WRJN has you covered. All this season, WRJN is pleased to be your new home for the Milwaukee Brewers. Hear all the games home and away on WRJN. Of course, we'll follow the Bucks through the playoffs and bring you Badgers and Packers when those seasons start. WRJN is also home to one of our state's top sports reporters, Mike Clemens, with his reports every hour, now sponsored by Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. Learn more at paysbig.com. Pottawatomie Casino Hotel and WRJN, great partners for hometown sports.
It's a polka party, and for good reason. 30 years ago, legislation making the polka our state dance became official in Pulaski.
I think everybody in Pulaski showed up in Zielinski Hall or on the streets because it was a polka day celebration.
That's then-Governor Tommy Thompson who signed the legislation in April 1994. But do you know who got the barrel rolling on the idea in the first place? The Wisconsin Polka Boosters, a class of second graders, or the State Folk Museum? The answer coming up.
It's tradition. It's culture. It's food. It's beer. You know, heritage.
Heritage back to the 1840s when the polka became popular with Europeans and came to America with them. So who started the Make Polka Our State Dance movement? A class of Madison second graders, but the Boosters and Folk Museum supported those efforts. It's a cultural slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
In honor of National Cheeseball Day, what food totally disgusts you? For me, it's anything where cheese is crammed together and soft. Why you would put it all into a ball or a log or a loaf, I don't understand. What about you, Conrad? You got a disgusting food?
I like tuna. It just can't be from in a can. It just has the worst smell in me. I just think it's nasty.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk.
When you have a fully funded, privatized voucher system, Heather, help us out.
Wisconsin has made a choice to disinvest from the public good and put money into a wholly unaccountable system and just let their political cronies laugh all the way to the bank while our kids pay the price.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us.
Welcome back. 49 minutes past the hour. Well, 10 minutes before the hour, actually. Moving along here. George in Chicago. Hey, George, what's on your mind today?
Well, the thought occurs to me, Tom, and I'm not being facetious in saying this. You know, the Republicans will try to install voter ID and all kinds of complicated ways of identifying yourself as a voter and proving that you're a voter, but particularly a voter ID. In every state, they can get away with it, but I don't seem to recall they've ever insisted on voter IDs for members of the Electoral College. You know, I remember back in the 80s, a friend of mine was certified as an elector for a presidential candidate here in the state of Illinois, and he was issued a commission. Now, every state does it differently, and I don't know how Illinois does it now, but you would think that when a political party submits its list of certified electors to the state government before the election, and the state government certifies these individuals as the electors, they should have a state-issued ID so there'll be no doubt as to who is an elector and whose electors won the election.
Yeah.
I mean, these people were trying to pass themselves off as legitimate electors with falsified credentials. I mean,
nobody was questioning their identities, though, George, or their citizenship. You know, I mean, that, what you're suggesting, and I get the irony of it, but what you're suggesting actually is to give credibility to the Republican argument that we need IDs. And the fact of the matter is that the first state to require voter ID was Indiana in 2006, I think. And, you know, for 200 years, we did elections just fine without voter ID. And the level of fraud was negligible to non-existent.
I agree with your long-stated contention that the biometric confirmation, in other words, a signature, is all that's needed.
Sure.
But I would say that in order to be fair to everybody, if the Republicans want voter ID, then voter ID should be provided free of charge to everybody when they register.
Yeah.
And they'll always have that hard card, and so they can never be denied when they go to the poll. But the Republicans don't want that.
No. They want to be able to throw as many people off the rolls as they can, and they do. I mean, this is the Supreme Court legalized this, or five Republicans on the Supreme Court legalized this, and it's been going on like crazy. I mean, that was in 2018, the case of U.S. versus Husted, as I recall.
But I would think that this is something that if the Democrats win both houses, as I think they're going to, and the presidency, that since the federal government is in control of the electoral process when it comes to Washington, that they can require that the states certify these electoral votes in a certain way. I'm sure there's a legal and constitutional way of working it out, and that'll solve the problem forever.
Except that it's not a problem.
Think of some other evil game.
Except that it's not a problem. I get your point, George. I get your point. Thank you very much for calling and making it. Gar in Atlanta. Hey, Gar, what's up?
How you doing today, Tom?
Good. How's everything in Atlanta?
I'm called about, have you ever heard of the mud seal theory?
I have not.
You need to look it up. It was a speech given by Senator James Henry Hammond in 1858, where he was saying that the elite, the upper class, have to have a lower class to sit on. The mud seal is what the foundation of a house sit on. You say you have to have it. And Lincoln was against it. You got to look it up. It's a very interesting theory. It was given as 1858. And I think that's what a lot of what we hear is going on today, that mud seal theory.
Huh.
And another thing, too, you talk about Reagan. Do you remember Joanne Quigley?
Yeah.
She was, when Reagan had lost his mental faculties, she was running the country Nancy Reagan was running the country by the horoscopes.
In part. I mean, the general consensus is the last 2 years of the Reagan administration, the country is being largely run by George Herbert Walker Bush, the vice president.
Oh, well, it's also been, Nancy Reagan was running.
Yeah.
By the horoscopes.
Yeah. Well, I think that was probably more when Ronnie was still lucid, you know, that she was telling him what to do. And in fact, a friend of mine who was, you know, kind of a, I don't think you'd call her a psychic, was invited into the White House by Nancy Reagan, you know, and consulted with her.
Okay.
So, Jean Houston.
Yeah, okay. Okay. But look up the mud seal theory. It's very interesting.
I just made a note about it, Gar. Thank you very much for that. I'll look it up this afternoon when I get home.
All right.
Thank you very much. Good talking to you. Jeff in San Francisco. Hey, Jeff, what's up?
I'd just like to say some good things about what Biden's done.
Yeah.
Particularly the non-compete clauses, I think, are really huge, if you've heard of those.
Yeah, it is. That the Federal Trade Commission. Was that the FTC? No, which agency was it that just did that?
FCC, I believe.
Okay.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
I thought it was the FCC. I saw it on YouTube, and I think that's pretty big. That, you know, and it was affecting up to 30 million American workers. You know, I'm not just fast food. It was veterinarians, doctors in rural areas.
Yep.
They couldn't go to another place to work. It was affecting their. So it's going to raise wages. I think that's we really need to put that out there. That how much that was.
Yeah.
That's. I mean, the Republicans are always talking about freedom. Where's the freedom of the workers to, if a guy's working in one casino, he has a non-compete, he can't go work at another one for higher wages.
Exactly. It's a way of locking up your labor. It was the Federal Trade Commission, by the way, the FTC, that did this.
FTC, I'm sorry, I missed that one. But, and there's a big one as far as there's time and a half now for workers up to 55,000 over 40 hours of work.
Yep.
And the last thing is that, if you miss your flight is canceled, they have to give you money directly. They can't, buy you off you with, you know.
Right. They have to offer you money anyway. It'll be interesting to see how well that one gets enforced because the airlines are really going to be opposed to that one.
Well, people, I think there's the power push is coming back pretty big for the people.
Yeah, well, that's
what's happening
with the Biden
administration.
Yep. And we just have to keep Republicans out of power for a little while so we can put this country back on track. Jeff, thank you for the call. Spot on. Three good things from the Biden administration. Marvelous. We'll be back on the other side of this report. A New York Times reporter just said that the reason that they're covering Biden's age is retribution. Weird. I'll tell you about that in just a minute.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Fresh dog food is everywhere right now, but is it the real deal or is it all hype? Well, for me, there are a few issues with it. Number one, it ships frozen, so you have to wait for it to thaw. Number two, you have to store it in the fridge, and once it's defrosted, it can expire pretty quickly. Number three, it's cooked, which can actually destroy a lot of the nutrients your dog needs. And number four, it's messy. You're a busy dog parent. You need a dog food that's great for your pup and easy for you to use. That's why I love feeding my dogs Blue and Chewy Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend. It's ready the moment it's mealtime. It's shelf-stable and dry to the touch, so you don't need to squeeze it from a wet pouch. Plus, unlike most fresh dog food that's cooked with high heat, Nature's Blend is freeze-dried raw, meaning it has an optimum amount of nutrients your dog needs for their health and happiness and a flavor and texture they'll find irresistible. Save up to 54% off Nature's Blend, plus a free bag of Telly's Treasures, their best-selling beef-flavored dog treats. Just go to drmartypets.com/Tom, T-H-O-M, or text Tom to 511-511. All dogs are unique.
This is News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN, Crude and Dom.
Trump trial, more Packer talk, and your Friday grievances, only on the Devil's Advocates radio show. You made it to the weekend.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
You're listening to WRJN and W260 CV Racine, W251 BU Kenosha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.